Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
Well, hello, everyone. I am so glad that you joined us today. And today we are going to answer some calls and we're going to talk about some stuff that's going to make a difference in your life. That's what we are here for. And we are going to hear from Dr. Jim Burns and Dr. Jill Hubbard, who are in the California studio. And I love the wisdom that you all bring into the room. And Jim, what's on your mind these days? Okay. What kind of wisdom do you have for us?
Well, you said the California studio. I just wanted to say it's 76 degrees and sunny, and my friends are at the beach today, but I don't want to rub it in the Ohio studio.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, so good.
Great.
Well, you know, I have been thinking about this, and actually before the program, you and I started talking about, we were talking about just how many families are struggling so much, and people are, you know, cutting off families and doing all this thing. Mm-hmm. And I thought I might make a few comments about what did we do when our children or actually even other family members violate our values, our morals. You know, it's not we didn't cause it, but they're violating values. Some are even straying from faith. And we get this all the time here on New Life. And mm-hmm. and so I want to go through something that I've kind of talked through a little bit when I'm in a conversation with people. But I think we have to offer tough love. And tough love does not mean that we're going to be mean. What it means is we allow the consequences of their poor choices to just carry through, and then we show empathy. And that's a really hard thing to do because I'm a fix-it person. I want to help them. Mm-hmm. But, well, I'm so sorry you chose to make that poor decision. And I had to learn that it's not – I'm not responsible for that. You know, it was Martin Luther years and years ago who said, I can't do anything about the birds flying over my head, but they don't have to roost on my head. And that's a good thought. And so I think we show tough love. But we also, if we're parents of a child who's, you know, made some poor choices, we can't be a one-topic parent. We can't want it more than they want it. And so to be a one-topic parent means that that's all we're focusing on is that straying of faith or the violating of values. But literally, even when they're in that place, if we are that safe person, then it's important to know that when or if they crash, that they will come back to us. Life is more than just that one, you know, poor decision that they made or the couple poor decisions. I even know some people who their daughter had a DUI and they have a lot of money. They could have easily got it off. She had an open container. She wasn't even at the top level. And they allowed her to go through the process of DUI school, put it on the insurance. It's on her record for 10 years. You know what? She doesn't drink in her car and she doesn't do that now. And that was a great discipline. Mm-hmm. One last thing I would think is that when a child or any family member, when they violate our values and they know it, the one question they have is, do you still love me? And I think it's important for us to show love even in the midst of our own pain or disappointment in some of the choices that they're making. And that's just a thought for today that kind of relates to so many levels of what I think a lot of our callers are calling about in terms of their family issues.
I love that, Jim. And you know that whole concept of being a safe person will require you to expand your ability to love somebody when they're not being lovable. Yeah. And, you know, we talk so many times about the tension that we feel in those relationships when somebody isn't going along with what either our expectations are or what we have known to be true, and dealing with the feelings that go with that, the grief, the loss, mm-hmm. the anger, the frustration, and to know that we don't get to choose, right?
Not our choice.
Well, and letting them, Jim, like you said, sit in their consequences is a very loving thing to do.
Well, experience is a better teacher even than advice. Yes. You know, sometimes they have to experience it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, you can't tell anybody anything. I mean, even though that's what we do every day. But I just, you know, we have to be to a place where we're willing to hear that. And if you're a safe person and a loving person, and you can allow somebody to experience those consequences, it will create a relationship. It will create that connection. Thanks, Jim. See, I told y'all he's wise. We're going to have some more wisdom after this break. We're going to answer some calls and we're going to help some people.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I just want to encourage you, if betrayal has been part of your in your relationship as a woman, we have the Restore Intensive that's going to be July 12th in Washington, D.C., and it sounds like it's a long way off, but it'll be here before you know it. We've got some early bird discounts and some information, but you know what? We have a free guide that you can download at newlife.com/restore. And, you know, if this is part of your story, there is hope for healing, and we want to be part of that. So I just want to encourage you, women, just check that out. We are going to go to the calls, and we are going to start with Jan. Oops. Yep. Jan from Seattle, who's calling us on the internet. And you can listen on the internet as well. We're glad that you called today, Jan. How can we help you today?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. So glad Jim was on there. I didn't know when I called for literature today that I was going to be on the show. But I'm in the process of reading and living out your book with adult children. Mm-hmm. We are in grieving mode. It's been a year this month that we lost our firstborn, their oldest sister. Mm-hmm. And I raised them with tough love. And I guess they're giving me back tough love right now. And that is, they've set down some boundaries, and I respect their boundaries, and I have tried to oblige them by putting things in writing. And then I said, well, I'd like to do this, you know, standing up and being on my own feet and meeting in person, and they aren't willing to do that. So, any suggestions?
Well, Jan, actually, I think what you are doing, I think you received even some of their, when they talked about boundaries, I think you received some of that probably quite well. You know, I think it's two steps forward and a step backwards here. The step backwards right now is that they're not willing to meet with you, but I would put that on the side for just the moment. But I would still continue to, I mean, it is going to be better when you can sit face to face. And in those meetings, you know, you be the listener. Listening is the language of love. We don't always have to be right. Even if we are right, sometimes it's better to just kind of keep our mouth shut and listen and receive. And then sometimes you say, well, I see it a different way. And you know, have that conversation, obviously. Another thing that might help would be to have somebody, what I always call a moderator. That's the, you know, the counselor, the coach, pastor, somebody who could kind of come in and help, you know, moderate a discussion. I find that sometimes there's better honesty, and also it makes it safer for everybody when there's another person in the place. What you also lost your child, your firstborn. Is that what I heard?
It's the sixth loss in our family in 5 years.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so with that kind of a thing, you know, when people grieve differently, and so everybody's grieving, and sometimes in grief there's blaming and things like that. And so I want to make sure that you're, you know, sixth loss. I mean, that just means you're having to deal with so much grief. Make sure you have a support system around you. And it sounds like it can't be them right now. It can, you know, perhaps later, but make sure that you have a support system around you to deal with this incredible grief, because I think sometimes we downplay that. But, you know, you're telling us that not only, well, take six, whatever that is, that's huge. And I think it's important that you recognize that, name that as grief, and name that you're juggling a lot of things. You're juggling the relationship with the others, but you're also juggling the grief on your own. And so, you know.
Wait, can I jump in here? Because I think I don't know if I have the whole picture or not, Jan. So you've had a lot of losses in your family, and you're telling me that some of your kids are setting boundaries with you and not wanting to be with you in person. So I'm wondering, other than how you raised them in childhood, what precipitated this extreme stance? Because it's one thing to have boundaries. It's another thing to say, we can't be around you.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I have not been able to discover.
Okay.
I was a very tough love parent.
Okay.
And there may be some unresolved issues. And so I guess, you know, I kind of need a support group of of parents,
yes,
male and female.
I think that would be great.
That, yes, and I will start it myself if I have to.
Well, but, you know what? And that's a great way to do it, Jan, and even use Jim's book. Like, invite people to come and, you know, read a couple pages and then go around the room and share.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's
That is really what I thought was the reason for this call. So
oh, okay.
I appreciate that.
Okay, good. Well,
I want to. Well, can I ask a question, Jan? Is there any idea? Do you have any idea of why they have drawn this line? You keep saying that you were a tough love parent.
And is it just one child or all of your children?
No, there are seven left of the nine.
You had nine children?
Yes, and two are in heaven, and two grandchildren are in heaven, and their dad, and so on and so forth. They're all there. And I think I'm doing fine. I really do. I'm grieving the loss of the relationship with the living children.
Right. Well, sure.
Not of those that...
Right. So I have seven of them taken this stance.
All seven, and yes.
Seven have taken this stance.
Well, it'll be really important. It'll be really important, Jan, for you to get clarity from them. I'm sure Jim and Joe would agree with that. Like, you're fighting a ghost right now. Like, you don't know what the issue is. And it's not to settle the score. It's to have clarity and to invite them. But I like what you said, Jim, that you're going to need help with this. It's not going to be... Yeah. You just ask them. There's too many of them.
Right. And Jan, you want to find what the unresolved issue is. And
yes,
I'd find
yes.
one of those kids are going to tell you. And you you know who they are.
Right.
And somebody needs to tell you that and not on a defensive way, but just say, help me understand because maybe I'm being dense. So, you know, say that as, you know, moms can say that. You know, I'm being dense on this, but you've got to find what that unresolved issue is if you honestly don't know what it is.
Yes.
Right. So start your
individual.
Right. So start your
it
support
may be
group.
Individual.
And then in addition to your support group, I think maybe you start writing a letter to each of your kids. It could be the same letter and then you modify it for each of them and just let them know that you really want to hear what it was like for them growing up with you as a mom. Mm-hmm. And that you're really, you know, you try to respect the boundaries. And you know they're adults, but you really, like Jim was saying, need more clarity on what it is that has impacted them in such a way that they want to keep their distance from you and that you really want to grow as a person, right?
One other thing, I'm kind of calling an audible on this, but we actually have a sheet in our ministry that has the parent-child conversation, but it's the children who kind of, you know, give the parents what they think. So it's exactly that, but they can just fill it out. So we could get that to her. We could even email it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if we could, when you talk about whatever you're going to give her, whatever, we could send that along and we can make that happen. And that might be even a sheet. She goes, hey, I'm working through this book. I'm working through with some friends and, you know, I'd love if you would take
That's
the time.
Great idea.
If you take 5 to 10 minutes, and it's the therapist who put this together in Florida, and it's really good. We're now using it in our own ministry with that.
Mm-hmm. It's really hard to have those hard conversations, but that's the reason why we were kind of drilling down on this because you cannot defend, you cannot discuss something that's not identified.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, the main most thing. I think we're going to send Jan a copy of Changes That Heal. She already has your book, Jim, which is very good. And we'll get that list to her as well. It's tough, but man, it is worth asking those questions and to be curious about, you know, what is going on here as opposed to just, you know, submitted to defeat. We want to have some victory and connection in this family. And we'll be praying for this loss too. This is a lot of stuff that's going on. We're grateful that you called. We're going to go back to the calls and we're going to talk with Michelle, who's calling from Syracuse, New York, listens on Sirius XM. Hello, Michelle. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Hi. I just recently started listening to your show And I was almost in tears just listening to the last lady because it pricked my heart. But I'm calling because I wanted to know if you could try to help me to encourage my husband to get marriage counseling. We've been married for over 30 years, and the first 20 years, on and off, he's cheated some kind of way. Physically, text, phone calls, messages, internet, you know, the whole gambit. And recently things have, like, here and there, I've been on the edge, okay, he's cheating again, and things happening, and it's reminding me of what happened. But I'm like, okay, I clearly don't trust him. I've forgiven him, but I don't trust him. And I'm trying to encourage him, hey, let's get marriage counseling, but he just refuses. Anything that needs to be done to help the marriage, he feels like he has to be the one to initiate it. He just doesn't want to accept it.
Gosh, Michelle, we're so sorry.
Yeah, this is a lot to live with for 30 years. And Michelle, you guys would be a perfect candidate for our triple header New Life deluxe package, right? Which includes our Everyman's Battle, our Restore Workshop, and our Intimacy in Marriage. So those three workshops, I mean, I hear your husband, a lot of times men will say, oh, I don't want to go to therapy, right? And it's like they don't want to be called on the carpet. Right. That's a tough thing. And so our workshops actually are like a boost of therapy. It's like supercharged, right? Because you're immersed. And so in 48 hours, you get a lot done versus 1 hour a week. Now, I love therapy. That's what I do. So it's still very important. But sometimes our workshops create a launch pad for someone being more open to do the work that's necessary. But Michelle, in order to even get him to be willing to do any of these things, I think you have to get some help yourself, if you haven't already. You need support system, perhaps therapy yourself, to equip you to be ready to do it differently. Because your husband's been cheating in one way or another for 30 years, and you're still there. And so the unspoken message is he can pretty much do whatever he wants and you'll still be there.
Yep.
And so I think until you change your stance, he's not going to change because it's working for him. I mean, it's really not, but he doesn't have to deal with the uncomfortable and really look at himself. And so for you to get to a place, and you don't have to get mean or, you know, come on super strong. You just have to come on different and firm. And so just like we talk about with kids, to be loving but firm, and to come to a place where you say, this doesn't work for me anymore. I love you.
And I've said that.
Okay.
I said it.
Okay.
Before,
but now you need some action. Now you need some action to back it up. So here's the things I am doing and getting involved in. And I'm going to go to this Restore workshop because I have someone in my life who is a sexual addict. Right.
Well, and he can go to Every Man's Battle this Saturday. It's or on the 13th. It's online. But, you know, I think the challenge that you are hearing, Michelle, is that he says that he's going to decide. He's the decision maker. And it's true on a lot of levels. Now, you can hear the music. We got to take a quick break, but we're going to come back and we're going to finish this conversation. Jill, I love, what did you call it? The Super New Life Trifecta.
Triple header.
That's it. That's it. You know, we're joking about it, but we know the impact it makes.
It makes such a difference. I've done this with couples before, and they just thank me. Over and over again.
So. Yeah, because there's something about setting time apart. Not that I'm with you. I love therapy as well. But there's something different.
Right.
Rather than the once
the
a week
immersion.
When you say, we are going to put a pin in this and we're going to go into it with meaning and time and space and some informed people. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are in the middle of a conversation with Michelle, and I think we got disconnected, but, you know, we were impressing on her the trifecta deluxe intensives that we have. But, you know, the obvious problem is when you live with something for so long, it becomes normalized. Mm-hmm. And 30 years of infidelity and not talking about it, not doing anything, it adds up over time.
Or just talking and not doing anything.
Or just talking. Yeah, exactly. Jim, how would you encourage her, encourage Michelle in taking these next steps?
Michelle, and I hope you're still listening because I know you got cut off on the phone. But, oh my goodness, actions speak louder than words. And he's been in control because he's not willing to go get help. But you're going to have to get the phrases, and it's not just about words, because you said, well, I've said this stuff, but there may have to be some actions. And I find that most of us, especially when we've been doing something like your situation for 30 years, I find that most of us don't, we honestly don't know what to do. And so I think this is where, you know, you get in that group, you go to Restore, you get the words and the that you're going to say, but also the actions behind the words. And they may be really scary actions that you may have to say to get him to go do that. But he's hanging out with you for 30 years. So there's love or there's something going on here. But make sure that he has to not be in control on this one. You can be.
Well,
okay.
And you know, to that point, Jim, part of the thing that he's controlling is his shame.
Yeah.
Yes.
The shame that he feels that he is unaware that that's what's causing him to not move.
Exactly.
As long as he doesn't disrupt that shame, he just can ignore it. And it's a painful place. It's not an excuse for his behavior. It's a reality.
Yeah.
And we see it all the time.
You're right. And Michelle doesn't want to live for the rest of her life like this. Mm-hmm. So that's why she's going to have to come up with a new plan. You know, the plan number one hasn't worked. It's not working.
Right.
So now you go with another plan.
Well, and I think too, Michelle, you have to, in doing your own work, look at why you've colluded with this. What is scary? What, you know, what fears do you have about what you would lose if you really pushed your husband to get help, or if you set a stronger boundary, right, that if he's cheating, he can't live in the house? What would happen there? And so when you say he's in control, it's like looking at the areas where, no, you do have choices there, and what's keeping you from making those.
Right. I love that. And Jill, you had said earlier that you don't want to make these in reactivity,
no.
But you want rather to be strengthened. You know, can have that connection with other people who can help you as you make these choices. We're going to send you a copy of Worthy of Her Trust, which I want you to read it, Michelle, and then pass it along the table to your husband. We're going to get you connected with our intensives and get you on this healing journey. And we can't wait to hear the other side of this. It's going to be good. We're going to go back to the calls, and we're going to talk with Carrie, who's calling from Mount Vernon, Washington. Listens on the app. You can listen on the app. You can download it wherever you get your app. And we got all kinds of great things there. Carrie, how can we help you today? Thanks for calling.
I am your biggest fan. I love all of you so much, and you give such words of wisdom. Anyway, I've called before about the same child a few years ago, and I made a statement around Christmas maybe about to the website to say thank you, because it walked me out of a life of shame, even though it was really hurtful. Well, now to further this quandary with this oldest son who in 2019 detached, he and his wife and our only grandchild from the rest of the family. And then they've reengaged and redisconnected three times now, the last time being Mother's Day last year. I sent a book on postpartum depression to his wife. It was a story I read about how it's generational, because she's had no relationship with her own mom. She has no relationship with anybody. And I was just hoping she would enjoy the book, and maybe it could help have her explore the dysfunction with her mom. And also her maybe shame about her own postpartum depression. I sent it for Mother's Day with a note saying I didn't realize how serious this is and how you must have suffered without any support, and I'm sorry. Well, it was the wrong thing, and my son called and said, why did you do that? And so they disengaged again, and it's been a year. She doesn't want to hear from you, Mom. And so now it's coming up on her birthday this week. She did have spinal surgery 3 months ago, and I got permission to send her flowers. I found out her favorites, and she did send me a thank you response. That was kind. But I have to tell you, I have post-traumatic issues from relating to this son. And most recently, he asked if we could pay for them to move back to Washington State.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm saying any of this right.
No. I hear your heart. You can hear that we're going to go to a break.
Yeah, I know.
What's the best question that we can answer for you?
How do I respond to a question and a request for that after they have shunned us and, you know,
okay.
I don't know what to say.
All right, we'll be back.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope, and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. In case you didn't know it, we are in the middle of a matching gift campaign, and we are so grateful for all of you who are participating in that matching gift. If you've never given to New Life before, now is the time because every dollar will be doubled up to $400,000. We're so grateful for our donors who planted that seed, and we want to invite you into making a difference in the lives of so many people. It will impact so many people in so many ways that will also impact you because you can know that you were part of changing lives. So if you want to give, I know you do, you can go to newlife.com/donate. You can text the word match to 28950, or you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We are grateful for every gift that you give, and it will make a difference in the lives of so many people. Right now, we are going to try and make a difference in Carrie's life as she is navigating this tricky relationship with her son and daughter-in-law. And there's been years of estrangement and then reconnection, but it is fraught with challenges. Jim, let's start with you. And
Carrie, and it's funny because Becky just mentioned this, but you know, it has to be so hard on you. The estrangement, and then they're back, and now they're not, and how are we today, and whatnot. I'm going to speak really bluntly to you. First of all, flowers, amazing, great. On her birthday, send a wonderful gift, something she loves, like you did the flower thing. It could be flowers or it could be a nice necklace or something. The book, you had perfect motives. This is the blunt part. Perfect motives.
Okay.
But
you
probably didn't want to send a book on something that might, you know, kind of cause more drip, because it's what I call unsolicited advice. They didn't see the book as a gift. They saw the book as you nosing in on, you know, something for them. You didn't. You were trying to help. I heard your voice. I heard, you know, how you said this. I mean, it's all beautiful. But our motives sometimes of love sometimes get, you know, especially in a thing when you've had this relationship already. So it's probably time to only give advice when you ask for permission and they say, yeah, bring it on. Okay. Now, let's go. So that's my thought. That was my blunt part for you. But, I mean, you're sticking with him. You're giving him the flowers. You know, you gave her the flowers, and she wrote back. So that means that this isn't totally an estrangement like sometimes we hear. The part of the part I was going to say about the money, two things. One is I would not give them money if I thought I was giving them money and then everything was going to be okay, right? And I would want more information, first of all. And, you know, I'm not opposed to that, but it you can't enable dependency. You don't want to, and you don't want to have this, you know, idea that, okay, now everything's going to be okay. But I would probably ask for more information. I mean, you probably have some of this. You know, how much are you talking about? What does that entail? Is it a gift or is it a payback? But even if they say it's a payback, I'd almost make it a gift in the sense of you're going to get really disappointed if they don't pay you back. But I would go into that part with eyes wide open. Carrie, you're married?
Yeah, I'm married. My husband was diagnosed with cancer and had just had cancer surgery that same day that my son. So basically he's feeling like they want to move back because my husband has cancer, my mom. We're aging, and they're missing out.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. That's an interesting thought. But, you know, I'd want to be on the same, especially when it comes to money and those kinds of things, I would want to be on the same wavelength as your husband. And, you know, united you stand, divided you fall on this one. But you probably need more info. But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't send any more books for a while.
I have a confession. I have done that.
What?
I have done that. Yeah. So I have done the research, and it does not turn out well. And so,
no, you're the people pleaser, aren't you? Are you the recovering people pleaser?
Oh, that's me.
No, that's Alice. Yeah, no,
well,
that's
Alice. Alice.
Well, maybe it's all of us.
I mean, we all have
know.
A little bit of it. It depends on
it's funny. We're all fighting to who. I wrote in a book of mine that I was the president of People Pleasers Anonymous. Somebody wrote to me and said, there is something called People Pleasers Anonymous, and you're not the president. I said it as almost a joke, and you know, they came at me. So anyway, I'm not the president.
Well, and it's like in our world and in, you know, at our ages and things, it's like, why wouldn't you want to be growth oriented,
right?
And so just trying to be helpful. But here's the thing, and Carrie, I remember you calling from before. You have a daughter-in-law who doesn't speak to her own mother. She's very wounded and guarded, right? So anything you do, this is not an equal relationship. And forgive me if I said this to you last time. That anything you do can be construed to be critical, that you're not thinking well of her. Because a lot of times, especially when she's cut off from her own mom, there can be a lot of shame there that she feels about herself. And that's part of the cutting off. And so if you highlight things and trying to be helpful, she's going to see that as more shame and criticism being heaped upon her. So even though that isn't your intention. So that's why you have to be much more careful with your words and realize your position. I do think it's a good sign that they are feeling like they're missing out, right? You want them to long for family and to be close, right? And they're doing this like they come close, they run away, they come, you know. I might have a conversation with my son or you with your son about this idea of that, I mean, it's two issues, but they converge about the money and the relationship. Mm-hmm. And that it's, on the one hand, you love helping them, but it has been difficult to kind of have a little bit of this back and forth happening and never quite knowing where you're going to stand with them. And the idea of helping them to move close, on the one hand, that sounds so great, but the fear is that you're going to be inviting them to come close to be more rejecting. Right?
Yes.
And that...
Exactly.
Right? And so that to be honest about that with your son, right? And that... And yet you... A gift is not based, like the others were saying, on what your expectations are. A gift is a gift and you have to let go of any expectations. But your hope would be if they are missing family, that something could be done to work on the relationship. that maybe instead of this complete cutting off, if you've done something to offend, heck, you want to know about it. Right. You can handle hearing it, and you're willing to make adjustments if there's some conversation. Right. Yeah. And that you're just worried. It's not a condition of whether you're going to give them the money or not. That's something you and your husband have to talk about. But you want him to be aware that here you're asking for help, yet at any moment you can do or say the wrong thing and then you're cut out. And that just feels terrible.
Well, it's also just trying to balance out that relationship, too, because, you know, Carrie, you don't want to get into a false representation of who you are. Because then you're, you know, it's just game playing all the time. But I love what both of you have said. I think we're going to send her a copy of Jim's book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children. It's a challenge. But, boy, Carrie, we can't wait to hear how you end up deciding on this. And call us back for sure. We're grateful that you called. We're going to continue going on with the calls. And we're going to talk with Cynthia, who's calling us from Chattanooga, Tennessee, listens on WJOC. Hello, Cynthia. Thanks for waiting. How can we help you today?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you guys for taking my call. I'm in a situation where I feel like I've done all I can in this situation, and I'm tired. I have a son that I've been dealing with since 18, in and out of jail. Well, juveniles into jail. Then got into drugs, then diagnosed with mental illness. This has been going on for over 20 years. I've been right there, family support, the whole nine. I've been to so many jails all around the world, well, around the country, it feels like, in and out of hospitals, the whole nine, him in and out of prison, like I said. Now he's out again. He's 40. I am exhausted. Mm-hmm. And my question is it okay? Because I feel like it's time for me to just let go. And Jim, when he started the conversation off, everything he said hit me right on the head. Everything he said, the tough love, you guys, everything you guys been talking about, that's what I'm feeling in my spirit, and that's what I'm hearing. I'm just tired, and I've already been trying to deal with the grief, and I'm trying to accept the loss of that son that, you know, I thought, you know, your dreams and goals you have for your kids. But at some point, I just feel like I can't do it anymore.
That's right. Well, Cynthia, you can hear the music. We got to go to a break. But what perfect timing that you called today, that you get to hear what Jim was talking about. And I think you might be right, Cynthia. I think you already know what the answer is. And that it's giving up that hope that he's going to change or he's going to be different, that it would be on you as a mom. That's a pretty powerful tug. We'll talk more about this after the break. But you know, I'm grateful for God's timing, because what Jim was talking about at the beginning really does hit this on the head. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, there are so many ways that we offer help, whether it's a book, a counselor, a life coach, an intensive recovery group. We are just wanting to see you thrive in your life, and we don't want you to struggle alone. So give us a call if you need help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Right now, we are helping Cynthia. And Cynthia, I just said to Jill and Jim at the break that all these years of your son going in and out of jail or prison, the prison time has actually probably been a relief for you, because you knew that he wasn't out causing more trouble. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. And now that he's coming out again, the threat is real. Jill, let's start with you. What would you offer Cynthia?
Yeah, Cynthia, well, it's been a long journey. And as a mom, right, we would do, and a dad, because Jim's here, we would do anything for our kids. And we do above and beyond, right? And we sacrifice ourselves. But I think in all of this journey, you are seeing that still your son is choosing to go his own way. So regardless of the help, right? You have not been able to turn the ship around. And so at a certain point, I think instead of riding that roller coaster with him, it's for you to step off of it. Right? You can still be there. You can still love him, but you're getting the picture. It's that idea of he's making his own choices, and you need to just let him make those choices and not gear up your body, your cortisol levels, you know, everything that says, oh, I gotta intervene. And when you start to feel that old familiar feeling of, okay, I got to go into, you know, the mode of helping, you have to like pull yourself back and just rest and pray and say, okay, Lord, he's yours. And you love him more than I do.
Yeah.
I love that, Jim.
And, you know, Cynthia, I was actually in your neck of the woods this weekend with my wife. I was speaking at something. And if we were having coffee, I would want to give you a group hug, my wife and I, because going through what you've gone through is immeasurably difficult. And I wrote the words even before you said it. Tired and exhausted, because I was tired and exhausted hearing what you've done. I wasn't saying that about me. I was saying it about you. But still, it's just real tough. You know, Jill's right. You got to change the game plan. But to do that, you know, the gift you can give him is to say, hey, here's what you can expect from me. We're going to change this a little bit because I have been there for you. And I love you. You're my son. But here's the new game plan. So if there's things that you've been helping him with that might even be considered enabling or whatever, you know, that's not going to happen this time. And to do that, you want to make sure you have people around you who support you, who give you the right wording and the right understanding. You know, Moses was in a battle, Israel and Moses was in a battle with the Amalekites, and he got tired. When he got tired, you know what he did? Is he sat down. And he rested, and then he got people around him to help lift his hands and the rod that he had in his hand, and Israel won the battle. You may give the best gift you can give to your son, and again, he's got a lot of issues because you talked about mental illness and drugs and jail and all that, but the best gift you can give him perhaps is to release yourself of some of this burden, and maybe he'll pull it together. Miracles happen it's right around Easter, and you know, some Easter is a season. It's not a day, and some miracles take time. And by you changing the plan, but you've got to make sure that you do self-care yourself. That's not selfish. And, you know, I hear it in your voice, your love for your son and, you know, a mother's love. And yet you got to make sure that you're taking care of yourself as well. And, and then tell him what he can expect, and you may have to think that through before, but tell him what you can expect, and maybe some of that is not taking care of him like you have in the past.
That's right. I think we're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, because this is where your journey is going to be, and I'm going to get you connected with a life recovery group, because I think the community, like you were just saying, Jim, this is a new way of going about life, and I think it's going to help you. I wanted to get to one more call before the end of the program today. Jill is calling us from North Platte, Nebraska, listens on KJLT. Hello, Jill. I wanted to get to your call. We just have a few minutes left, but how can we help you today?
Thank you. I appreciate that. I guess that, you know, I'm 63 years old, and I've gotten to a point where I think I need to start taking care of me. I think I've been a people pleaser my whole entire life, and I've realized that that has left me maybe with some trauma. I don't have the tools maybe to stand up for myself and to navigate life in a more positive way.
Okay. So you want help with how to begin that journey?
Yes.
Okay. Jill, let's start with you.
Jill, I think you're at the perfect age to do some self-reflection, right? Hopefully not as involved with kids and have a little more space. I think that getting into therapy. And I know that's maybe an easy answer, but I think you really need somebody to walk alongside you and to help you sort through where you slip into the people-pleasing and learn how to assert yourself more, right? In second half of life, we women tend to have more of a voice anyway as our estrogen goes down and our testosterone goes up a bit. And so it's a good time to get in touch with that and to feel more content, to have your insides and your outsides match better. And when you're doing the people-pleasing, the insides and the outsides are not matching. And so it's a little bit scary, and that's why you need someone to walk alongside you. Mm-hmm. So a coach or a therapist, I think, would be in order for you to embark on this journey.
I love that. Jim?
Jill, hey, by the way, 63, Jill, is the new 43, so you're a lot younger, and your voice is young, and there's a lot going on. But you know what? Jill here in the studio, I mean, she's absolutely right. You know what? If you were in our area, which you're not, but if you're in our area, somebody like Jill, who I don't do any long-term counseling, but if she did long-term counseling, you're the person they want. You just said, look at, you've identified what your issue is. And then here's now, I want help because I don't know how to change. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness,
you're a ripe candidate.
You're the delight of every counselor, and
for
so
therapy,
find a good one, and go with it. But you know, games are won in the second half, and so now in the second half, Jill mentioned this. You have more time. There's put some energy into it. I have a book on empty nest, and one of the phrases that I love in this book is significance in a well-lived life is never accidental. So, you know, if we go by just doing life with circumstance and chance, we're not going to get better. But if we learn the skills of how to assert ourselves or how to not be as much of a people pleaser. And I actually, to be honest, since I am a people pleaser, I had to learn that by doing some reading and some research and talking with my small group. I didn't go to a therapist, but I went to my small group and said, hey, this is me. And they all agreed. They go, you are such a people pleaser. I wanted them to say, no, you're not. They go, you are so much. So in a sense, I had accountability and I got the information. I think I'm better at it now. I don't think I'm perfect. I go back into that, but that's what you do. And you're going to do it. You're amazing. Way to go.
That's it.
Well, you have more time but less energy, actually.
Sure.
So that's why you need to do it different. It's not just I'm going to keep trying harder at what I've always done.
Point.
Right?
That's
it's
right.
Like I need some input to start to do it a little differently.
That's right. Well, I'm going to send Jill a copy of Healing is a Choice, which I think will get her on that journey. But I would also invite you, Jill, to join us at the Emotional Freedom Online, which is June 1st, because that could be a good day to start that in motion. We're always looking forward to sharing with you in intensives, and we're glad that you called today. Thank you, Jill, and thank you, Jim, and thank you, listeners. If we can be of any help, we are here for you. That's what we want to see you do. What did you say, Jim? Games are won in the second half.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing. And we're so glad that you're here.